Good evening. This is Life Rattle, the story show. I'm your host, Lori Callis. Tonight, on Life Rattle number 1246, we present two stories written and read by new Life Rattle writer Kiran Jo Chadha. Kiran Jo Chadha was born in 1991 in Toronto. She has an older brother whom she looks up to as a role model and considers her best friend. Her parents, born and raised in India, immigrated to Canada in their early 20s and settled in Toronto. Kiran Jo was diagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis at 11 years old, and since then she has worked tirelessly to raise awareness that kids get arthritis too, in the hope that more children receive early diagnosis. Kiran Jo's hobbies include painting, drawing, writing, reading, makeup, and baking cupcakes and cookies. Kiran Jo Chadha currently studies psychology and professional writing and communications and hosts UTM-TV. Kiran Jo brings a fresh voice to the stories we will hear tonight. Both are written from the viewpoint of a young person, and while the voice stays true to the narrator's youthfulness, Kiran Jo manages to present a candid self-awareness that is not always flattering. This honesty and the keen observations give each story a convincing sharpness that rings absolutely true. In tonight's first story, a young student anticipates a close encounter with the boy she has a serious crush on. But despite her careful maneuvering, things don't go as she plans. Let's listen now as Kiran Jo Chadha reads her story, First Dance, tonight on Life Rattle.
First Dance by Kiran Jo Chadha. He's so cute. I'm admiring the boy who sits across from me. He doodles on his desk, everything from Pokemon figures to ninjas. He even draws some of his own cartoons. He writes his name, Kevin, in boxy letters. I'm actually happy with the teacher's seating arrangement for the first time. Anna, my best friend, sits to my right, and Kevin's friend, Mike, sits next to her. In my mind, we're on a double date. "Did you guys do the geometry homework?" I ask Kevin and Mike. "No," Kevin replies. His answers are short. He doesn't talk much, but I know he's into me. After all, we're wearing matching navy blue square-framed glasses. "Oh, that's cool," I say. "Yeah, me neither." I slouch back in my chair, cross my arms, and try to balance myself on the chair's two back legs. Adam looks at me with a cheeky grin. Everyone in class knows I like Kevin. "All right, take out your geometry homework," Miss Smith orders. She gets up from her seat to collect the assignments. Our teacher wears a summer dress. She isn't really old, maybe about 45, but she dresses in frilly embroidered cotton dresses that zip from her lower back to her neck. She always wears a pearl necklace and matching pearl earrings. I roll back in my chair, twiddle my thumbs, and begin to blab about anything that comes into my mind. Do I hand in the difficult geometry homework I spent the whole night on? If I hand it in, then Kevin will know I lied about not finishing my geometry homework. Miss Smith stands only two desks away. She chit-chats with students as she collects the assignments, slowing her down. I place one foot quietly on the side of my chair, then the other. I get up and jolt to another student's desk. I glance at Kevin. Mike distracts him with another pointless story about how he won keepsies in a poker battle. I dash to Miss Smith's desk. I hide my assignment under some other papers and look around. I paste on a giant grin and stroll back to my seat. "I thought you said you didn't do the homework." Kevin shrugs his shoulders up and down, opening his mouth just enough for me to see the space between his buck teeth. I lower my left eyebrow in the left half of my mouth. I turn red. Yeah. He smiles his buck-toothed smile. I chip at my nails faster and faster. Miss Smith walks over to the chalkboard. "Miss Anne told me to remind all of you," that tomorrow in gym class, you'll be learning how to slow dance. The boys say ew, and the girls giggle and talk to their friends. Remember to bring a change of clothes, I write in my agenda just before the school bell rings. When I get home, I run up the front stairs straight to my mother. Mommy, I drag the words that flutter my eyelashes. Can you braid my hair tonight? I make a huge smile and jump up and down on my tippy toes. Is it for school pictures? She keeps her eyes on my dad's shirt as she irons. No, I just wanted to look different. I purse my lower lip and draw circles in the hard wood with my right toe. All the girls in my class style their hair differently every day, except me. Okay, remind me after we eat. She walks to the fridge and takes out some dough. The next morning, I wake up half an hour before school starts, rather than the usual 15 minutes. I hardly slept all night, but I don't feel tired. Mom's already at work, so Dad, as usual, does my hair. I normally have my hair pulled back straight, but today my hair is wavy. I wear my jean skirt, pink flower top, and pink headband. Daddy, can you open my braids now? I smile wide, showing all my teeth, and wiggle my feet back and forth. I sit on the arm of his lazy boy recliner so that he won't have to strain his back too much to style my hair. Coming, Dad brings his tea and my Nesquik cereal downstairs. He untwists my braids and then drops me off at school. Everyone lines up for gym class. I stand in the hallway and constantly flick my hair. I'm next in line to Anna. My knees jitter and goosebumps cover my legs and arms. My mouth becomes dry. I have a plan to dance with Kevin. All right, I want everyone to sit boy, girl, in five rows. Only six kids per row, Miss Anne says. I don't like gym class. I'm always picked last. I can't kick a ball straight, and I can't dribble for more than two bounces. But today is going to be a good day. I know it. When everyone sits down, I look for Kevin. Miss Anne picks partners depending on where we sit. I stand up and count heads. I mentally match couples as I scan the rows up and down. I sit down in front of Kevin and cross my legs and place both hands on the floor. The sand from everyone's shoes sticks to my hands. When I lift them, my palms are full of tiny red dots, sand imprints. I try to rub the sand off. I don't want to get sand on Kevin. I look back, flick my hair, and smile. Kevin smiles his buck-toothed smile. Miss Anne begins selecting partners. As she matches students, I check my calculations, and I'm sure I'm sitting in the right spot. I make mental checks like this after each couple is chosen. She is one person away from me and Kevin. The teacher's pet, Cindy, strolls into the gym. Oh, welcome, Cindy, you're late. Miss Anne checks her name off the attendance sheet. Hi, miss, she curtsies, flooding her eyes. Sorry, I had a doctor's appointment. That's fine. Cindy makes her way to the floor where we sit. No, stay standing. Kevin, you'll be partnered with Cindy. Miss Anne smiles. My chest feels heavy. Butterflies take my tummy captive. I glare at Cindy, then at Miss Anne. I press my hand harder on the sandy floor. My eyes squint. Cheater, I think to myself. Kevin hops up. They giggle and talk the whole way to their cardboard placemat labeled number 5. I sigh and turn. My eyes bolt. My breathing labors. My mouth opens. Hi, Ben sitting next to me waves. The corner of his mouth turned towards his cheekbones. His eyes stick out like a pesky fly. I say nothing and look at my freshly painted nails. Not Ben, not Ben, not Ben. Ben is the least popular kid in class, perhaps even the whole school. He has two different inhalers, one for his mouth and nose. A steel water bottle always stays with him. He has no friends, and he's extremely allergic to peanut butter. He's the reason none of us can bring peanut snacks to school. Jyoti, you'll be with Ben, Miss Anne grins. Ben gets up and stands next to me. I unfold my legs. I stretch my right leg, then the left one. His dirty hands smell like old socks. I slowly stretch out my arm. I stare at the ceiling. I slowly bend one knee, then the other. I place my right hand on the floor, and then my left on my left knee. I straighten out my back. I get up. "Hi," he snorts. He speaks in a nasal voice. "Yeah," I roll my eyes. Ben walks over to our cardboard placemat, labeled number 6. I drag my feet far behind. Miss Anne turns on the music and plays Truly Madly Deeply by Savage Garden. I cross my arms, keep my chin close to my chest, and frown. "Everyone get close. Boys, place one hand on her side and use your other hand to hold hers. Girls, put one hand on his shoulders and use the other to hold his." Ben reaches out. "Take my hand." He smiles. He snorts. His hands have chunky stuff on them. White chunky stuff. I glance over at Kevin and Cindy. They smile and giggle and move back and forth to the music. She lays her head on his shoulders. He chuckles. I see a flush of pink on his cheeks as he shuffles his eyes around the room. I look back at Ben, my arms still crossed. I peer out of the corner of my eyes and even manage to form a wrinkle. "Hello?" Ben waves his hand in front of my face. I'm sure he saw me stare at Kevin and Cindy, but I don't care. It's just Ben. "I can't do this." I run over, head down, to Miss Anne. "Miss Anne, I don't feel comfortable dancing with the boy." I keep my eyes downcast and stare at Miss Anne's white and blue Nike running shoes. "You don't have to touch. You can just hover both hands," she lectures me, with her arms open wide, eyebrows pressed together. I scrunch my face, I straighten my arms and slightly bend forward. I blurt out, "It's against my religion to dance with the boy before I'm married." I shift my eyes vigorously left and right. Miss Anne grunts, slightly rolls her eyes, and drops her hands to her sides. I make my way to the wooden bench I always sit at during gym. I look at Ben. He sits on the ground with his inhaler in his hand. He looks up at me. Ben's eyes water and his jaw lowers more than I remember. Well, that's not my problem.
That was Kieran Jo Chadha reading her story, First Dance. Our second story tonight will leave you questioning the constant electronic entertainment we've grown accustomed to surrounding ourselves with. Let's listen now as Kieran Jo Chadha reads her story, Lights Out.
Lights Out by Kieran Jo Chadha. Dad sinks into his tattered brown sofa and readies himself for an evening of watching baseball and drinking hard liquor. I hear dings and squeaks as my mom cleans another sink full of dishes, rinsing them with water and then a dirty sponge before adding soap. Canver, my older brother, plays violent video games at full volume. The sound of gunshots, gushing blood, body slicing, and groans fill the cool, air-conditioned house. I sit in my room in front of the mirror and slather on my mom's red lipstick and streak on dark eyeshadow, pretending to be a contestant on Canada's Next Top Model. I keep the cordless phone captive for potential gossiping with friends. I wonder if other families are like us. We live together and we eat the same food, yet we rarely speak to each other. No morning hellos, except for Mom, because she makes breakfast for everyone. No good time good nights. I don't know the dates of my parents' birthdays, or even what year they were born. We don't celebrate birthdays. Dad always thinks I'm a year younger or older than I actually am, and I don't know any of my brother's friends. I do know that I would rather sit in my dull room than be yelled at for doing something wrong in the kitchen or being forced to choose between watching baseball or video games. My tummy growls and gurgles. I'm hungry. If I go downstairs and ask Mom what she's making for lunch, or when it'll be ready, She would probably just yell at me. You don't know how to help. You only know how to eat. She wouldn't even answer the question. I tiptoed down the wooden stairs and slowly entered the kitchen. Floor feels cold. Mom probably just mopped. I open our white fridge. It's old and a bit beige now. I see the picture of Karen Vermeer from 4 years ago, when he was 10 and I was 8, on the door. We stand wearing track clothes in front of Marineland's killer whale tank. The fridge door mostly holds random magnets and stickers we received in the mail. I scan the fridge for snacks, then the freezer, and look back to the fridge, then the freezer again. The fridge holds 3 types of milk, bread, vegetables, cookies, and a Kit Kat. The freezer houses ice cream and chicken nuggets. My parents hate it when I leave both doors open. Then the kitchen lights suddenly turn off. Turn the light back on, Mom grinds her teeth as she speaks. She turns to me with the dish in one hand and soap in the other. I didn't turn it off. I roll my eyes. I slam the fridge door. I walk over to the light switch and flick it up and down a few times. The lights don't turn back on. I become more aggravated and slam the light switch with the palm of my hand and hurt my wrist. It won't turn on, I continue flicking. The TV's off, I hear my brother shout. Mario was about to save Peach. Dad's television also goes blank, but he stays silent, as always, and just gets up to see what's wrong. He enters the switch room with his electrical testing kit. He tests every switch. Nothing works. Call Rogers, Dad yells. He only cares about his precious Blue Jays going into an extra inning. But he isn't one to complain. He won't even phone to find out what the problem is for a service he's paying for. He just doesn't like to talk. He doesn't socialize either. Call the electrical, Mom yells back. It feels like midnight in the house. It always does, because the blinds are always drawn. I skip around the house and open them. The room lights up. There's still light outside, and it feels like morning. Even during the summer, the blinds remain closed. If they were open, the neighbors might see us, and my parents don't like that idea. It might mean that they would have to engage in a conversation with them, or at least wave hello through the windows. It's like we live in a different world from them. We live our midnights in the mornings and our mornings in the midnight. After I open all the blinds and windows, I take the cordless phone to my room and call Rogers. I don't want to speak in front of my family. They would only point out what I said wrong and speak over me, even though they hadn't heard the question. I click talk on the phone and bring it to my ear. No dial tone. I press off and try again. Still no dial tone. I skip to the family room. I toss the phone on the table, and it makes a thud. Don't throw shit, Mom yells. What did Roger say? Nothing. Phone's broke. I collapse on the sofa with my arms open wide. Mom grinds her teeth again. Give me that. You don't know how to do anything. Stupid. Mom presses the talk button on the phone. No dial tone. Dad picks up the remote and tries to turn on the TV again. It's hot in the house. Without electricity, there's no air conditioning. Just hot air enters from the windows. We sit in silence. We used to watch Hindi movies together for family time. Even then, Mom would yell at Karen Vier and me if we spoke or laughed. Dad walks over to the closet where he keeps his tools. He finds batteries, wires, and tape. Then he pulls out an old radio. It's black with a giant antenna. We bought the radio from some guy because it catches special Indian radio station signals. We all sit around the scratched wooden table. Dad won't buy a new one. He unscrews the bottle of liquor again, and there's another loud thump on the old table. I don't know how much more this crater-filled table can take. What are you doing? I ask, and begin to build a house with batteries. Fixing it. Dad keeps his eyes on his work. He speaks quietly and quickly. The radio has no battery option, only a plug. Dad opens it up, pulls out some wires, and sticks the batteries together. It somehow works. Dad's always been handy around the house. I think it's one of the reasons my parents remain married. He can fix things, so there's no household repair bills to pay. Mom can cook really well. Even after owning TVs and laptops, our mouths still widen when the radio starts to blare. Dad turns it on to a news station, then an Indian talk show. The topic is always one of two things: Indian men drinking too much alcohol, or Indian kids forgetting their culture. This week, it's Indian men. Interestingly enough, my family fits both. Mom, I'm hungry. I hold my stomach and put my head down. The stove isn't working. Can we make sandwiches? Dad gets up and starts to barbecue. Is it working? Mom asks. She moves her head from left to right, then up and down. Dad takes a while to answer. Yeah, he grunts. Mom puts on her slippers and scurries to the kitchen. She gathers dough, yogurt, sabji, prepared vegetables, and plates. My brother and I run after her, pushing each other as we go up to help. We come back down and she starts cooking roti and warms up sabji on the barbecue. Dad mans the grill. Camper pours the water. The breeze feels nice now. I find a piece of paper and pen. Want to play tic-tac-toe? I ask my brother. Sure. Camper picks up a pen. I draw X's and O's. I beat him 2 times out of 3. Then we find a basketball and pull out the net. Dad pumps up the deflated ball that we haven't used in a while. The basketball net is covered in cobwebs and leaves from 2 summers ago. Mom passes the rotis to Dad. He slips the ready-made rotis onto a plate. My brother and I sit on the pink carpet and play games. Mom slides the backyard door open and Dad hands us the food through the opening. Camera and I place the food on the table. When Mom and Dad come in, we all eat. Dad tells us stories about when he was a kid. Both my parents grew up on farms in India, where there was no television, phones, or no air conditioning, and how he had to work all day on the farm. Mom's stories don't seem as harsh. She didn't have air conditioning, but she went to school and was able to play with her friends. We hear a loud static noise. I walk up the stairs into the living room. The TV is on. The power has returned. Mom goes to the kitchen and finishes washing dishes and tidying up. Dad turns on his TV. Camera leaves and turns on his game. I head to my bedroom and I lock the door.
That was Kiran Jo Chadha reading her story, Lights Out. That concludes Life Rattle number 1246. My name is Lori Callis. I recorded Kiran Jo reading her stories. Life Rattle was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Tune into Life Rattle next Thursday evening to hear more new stories.